Welcome to St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Stuart here. It's great to be back sharing with you all again, now on our last week of these Lent reflections, looking at encounters with Jesus. Today's passage is Matthew 26, 14 to 25, looking at the story of Judas to betray Jesus. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where would you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house and with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in a dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." As we reflect on this story, that there's a theological idea, or maybe could call it a theological theory, that humanity, because we had sinned, we owed God a debt, and that Jesus paid that debt with his life. And so this whole idea puts the idea of a price on a human life. And often when we think of throughout history, when people have put a price on other people, it's usually the bad folk who do that. We remember the Egyptians who enslaved the Jews, Judas in this story, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Throughout history, slaves and buying and selling slaves, putting a price on people. It seems strange when we think of the different scenarios where we put a price on human life. It seems strange that an all-powerful God, whose grace is limitless, would do something similar and have this kind of transactional view of life. And there is some beauty in thinking of how high the price God put on us was, that he was willing to give up his only son. But something still seems wrong with this picture of God as a debt collector tallying up what we owe him and then deciding out of his goodness of his heart how to pay it for us. There are alternative kind of ideas or theological theories, if we can call them that, and one of the alternative ones paints it in a very different way, and that is that God loved us so much that he sent his son as a free gift to us out of his infinite love. And the crucifixion, the torture, the death of Jesus that we will be remembering at this Easter time wasn't something that had to be paid out of some debt that God had tallied up. You know, Jesus' death was simply our response to God's love. So rather than paying the debt, Jesus forgives the debt. God, who demands the debt to be paid, doesn't seem to be a God that is full of grace and full of love, the sort of God that Jesus points to. But of course, it perhaps is simpler to say, you know, that there is a debt to pay and we have done things wrong and there is a debt to pay. And I guess it maintains the way in which we work and often operate within our own lives and how social structures of society work. But it is a scorekeeping exercise it's grudge-holding and it's not infinite grace, and therefore not the good news as is presented by Jesus as he describes God as a God of love. And I guess going back to the issue that Judas faced in this story, Judas counted the cost of Jesus' life. You know, he put a value on it. That's what drove the betrayal of Jesus. I mean, just think about that for a minute. What drove the betrayal of Jesus and triggered, you know, him being led to that cross was the fact that Judas chose to place a value on Jesus' life. And that idea actually, or that mindset, I should say, is a driving force for so much suffering in this world. You know, if we actually think about the things which are wrong in society and in this world, it's so often actually derived from us putting a value on each other's lives. You know, we believe that some people deserve to be paid more than others. We accept, or maybe don't say that we believe, but the truth is we accept that some countries will just have lower wages, you know, a lower quality of life, so that we can maintain our lifestyles that we feel we deserve. And even on a global scale, if we don't just think about how we treat other humans, but even how we treat the world, how we treat the environment, is driven in a similar way. You know, when we think of environmental damage, climate change, so much of it is driven by the fact that we put a value on land, on the value we can extract from land. We put a value on livestock. We put a value on the profits which we can generate from these things around us. And it drives choices which are destructive. Anyway, could carry on talking about this for a while. But the point is, maybe we should not think of God as one who operates in this same way. We shouldn't think of him as someone who is counting up our rights and our wrongs, calculating the price to be paid, you know, deciding, you know, what Jesus had to suffer in order to balance the debt that we owe. So what if we stop the thought that Jesus paid the price for us, but rather considered that he was merely demonstrating God's infinite love for you and for me, and for the whole world? And I'm challenged and I'm struck by what this image of God tells us about ourselves. It makes the cross and the death of Jesus not just an image of God's love, but a mirror reflecting back on our own sin and showing us the evil that we're capable of doing. And this is why we need God's love, and this is why we need God's forgiveness so badly. But Jesus' journey to the cross and laying down his life was not a tallying up exercise. It was a demonstration of the infinite love and the infinite grace that God has for you and for me and for this whole world. Let's pray. Jesus, your love is beyond measure. And Jesus, we can't ever fully grasp the love and the grace that you poured out for us, Lord, as you laid down your life. And we read in this story today of one example of the consequences of putting a value on human life. And we thank you that you don't treat us like that, but you came to show us your love. And we ask that you would help us as we continue to reflect through this Lent period, that you would help us not to limit our thoughts and our minds of the type of love that you came to show in the cross, but help us to experience and catch a fresh glimpse of your infinite love, which is beyond measure, which is beyond words, which is beyond anything that we deserve, you know, the very definition of grace. Would you help us to catch a fresh glimpse of that? We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you that you were so willing to give your life for us. And we ask today that you would help us, Lord, to celebrate the love that you have for us and in turn also give you back our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.